and physicists would rather study proton-proton collisions at 20 trillion volts than at 20 volts. But these are tactical snobberies based on judgments, right or wrong, that some phenomena turn out to be more revealing than others. They do not reflect a conviction that some phenomena are more important than others. It is with Isaac Newton that the modern dream of a final theory really begins. Quantitative scientific reasoning had never really disappeared, and by Newton's time, it had already been revitalized, most notably by Galileo. But Newton was able to explain so much with his laws of motion and law of universal gravitation, from the orbits of planets and moons to the rise and fall of tides and apples, that he must for the first time have sensed the possibility of a really comprehensive explanatory theory. Newton's hopes were expressed in the preface to the first edition of his great book, The Principia. "I wish I could derive the rest of the phenomena of nature, that is, the phenomena not treated in the Principia, by the same kind of reasoning as for mechanical principles, for I am induced by many reasons to suspect that they may all depend on certain forces." 20 years later, Newton described in The Optics how he thought his program might be carried out. "Now the smallest particles of matter cohere by the strongest attractions, and compose bigger particles of weaker virtue, and many of these may cohere and compose bigger particles whose virtue is still weaker, and so on for diverse successions, until the progression ends in the biggest particles on which the operations in chemistry and the colors of natural bodies depend, and which, by cohering, compose bodies of a sensible magnitude. There are, therefore, agents in nature able to make the particles of bodies stick together by very strong attractions, and it is the business of experimental philosophy to find them out." Newton's great example gave rise, especially in England, to a characteristic style of scientific explanation. Matter is conceived to consist of tiny immutable particles. The particles act on one another through certain forces, of which gravitation is just one variety. Knowing the position and velocities of these particles at any one instant, and knowing how to calculate the forces among them, one can use the laws of motion to predict where they will all be at any later time. Physics is often still taught to freshmen in this fashion. Regrettably, despite the further successes of physics in this Newtonian style, it was a dead end. After all, the world is a complicated place. As scientists learned more about chemistry and light and electricity and heat in the 18th and 19th centuries, the possibility of an explanation along Newtonian lines must have seemed more and more remote. In particular, in order to explain chemical reactions and affinities by treating atoms as Newtonian particles moving under the influence of their mutual attraction and repulsion,